welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and I have with me today my spirit unicorn, Jordan Syatt. Jordan and I talk about the Just Another Muggle fat loss challenge that he is doing. We talk about what it is exactly, what brought all of this on, and what he hopes people will get from it by being extremely transparent and sharing his daily weigh-ins, his nutrition all along the way. You know, whenever Jordan and I get together, we have some great conversations, and this one is no exception. If you have ever struggled with your relationship with the scale, and I put myself in that category, this episode will be extremely beneficial to you. A lot of great topics that we talk about, and we connect it to all aspects of life. So go grab your coffee, put up your feet, and take a listen. I think you're going to love this episode, and you're going to get a lot out of it. I would love to know what you think. Have a great day.
Hello there.
Hello there. How are you?
Oh, good. You sound like Santa again.
It's like a mix of a British Santa with a white Jewish Santa.
How are you? Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm delightful. I just got back from a little deadlifting session.
Awesome. How did it go?
Fantastic. Thank goodness. It went great. Did really well. Felt good. Got a little conditioning in afterwards. So, feeling good. How are you feeling?
Good. Really good. Really good. Today was an off day for me, but I went up to the gym and just kind of moved the hip around a little bit. Feels really good. Really good.
Good. I'm glad. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy.
Good.
So,
good.
You know, speaking of all of this, I thought what would be really interesting to talk about is this Just Another Muggle fat loss challenge that you are doing. And, talk through a bunch of stuff with that. What do you think?
Hey, listen, you're the boss. You tell me.
Yeah, I'm the boss.
You're the boss. I'll do it.
Okay. Well, let's do it. Let's do it. So, okay. So for people that may not know what it is, why don't you start by just explaining what you're doing?
Well, so basically I had taken more or less the last 2.5 years and focused so much on business and social media and essentially just putting more effort into getting content out there about fitness that I ended up putting my own fitness on the back burner, which I don't regret at all because it allowed me to do things that I never really thought possible. But now it's gotten to a point where it's like, okay, cool. I've spent this amount of time really focused on business and like, I definitely want to put my own health and fitness and make it a priority again. So made it public and started talking about it. And then essentially what happened was I wanted to start posting my weight every day because as you and I both know, there so many people have a very negative relationship with the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had an issue with saying to someone, don't look at the scale if it creates a problem or a negative emotion. But I've always felt that the goal shouldn't be just to not look at the scale. It shouldn't be like, well, don't look at it. It's sort of like the goal should be to be able to look at the scale without having a negative emotion with it. Almost like in the same way that a lot of people, they have negative emotions in relation to carbs. They've been told that carbohydrates will make you fat. So when they first start thinking of carbs or start trying to incorporate carbs, they get scared. They get nervous. It's a negative emotion. But we don't just say, okay, you know what? Well, how about you just don't eat carbs then just because you have the negative emotion? It's like, well, how about we work through it and slowly incorporate it back until the point of you realizing that they're not going to make you fat? And it's like, I don't like the idea of just saying, well, you know what? Just don't weigh yourself anymore because of the negative emotion. How about we just work on developing a better relationship? So
sure.
I wanted to start sharing my weight to show people my weight fluctuates all the time. And I also wanted to show people that even when my weight is fluctuating, I'll still be losing fat and getting leaner. And what happened at the beginning was a woman responded being like, this is great, but like fat chance on getting any women to do this because like women aren't going to share their weight publicly. And I got immediately defensive being like, I can think of like 10 women off the top of my head who are going to do it because they're like strong, independent women. And like, even if it's not the most comfortable thing, they'll do it. So I asked her like, why do you say that? And she said, because at like years and years of society telling us that like, we need to weigh a certain amount or whatever. It's like, it's not going to just change because of social media. And basically I was like, I was like, well, that's interesting. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but wouldn't the whole point to be like, I understand what society is doing, but the only way to overcome what society has done is not to just hide and not do anything. It's to overcome it and to start like taking action against it. And like, this would be a really good opportunity. So I basically just shared that screenshot on Instagram, and you, along with many, many, many other women, were like, well, fuck this. Now I got to share it to show like her and everybody that's like, women can do this. And so every day I've been sharing my weight, and you and so many other people have also been sharing their weight and hashtagging Just Another Muggle. Basically, the Just Another Muggle hashtag is, if you don't know what a muggle is, you need to watch Harry Potter, or read Harry Potter. But it's just, it's a non-magic person. So in the wizarding world, in the like the magical world, a muggle is someone who doesn't have magic. It's just a regular individual. And basically what I want to show is like, I'm not a physique competitor. I'm not like an elite athlete. I'm just a regular person. And like, I don't have any like amazing, physical accomplishments at this point, or really like my physique isn't like a bodybuilder. It's just a regular person. So I wanted to show that, because I think a lot of times it can be discouraging for people to look at someone else who's like so ultimately developed. It's like, well, how am I ever going to reach that? So I just wanted to show like, listen, this is, I'm just another muggle. I'm just another regular person. I'm going to show you how to do it and that you can do it too. And so that's really where the whole thing stems from.
I think it's been amazing to watch actually. And the reaction to people, and getting, even getting someone like me to do it, because as you know, I'm not a weigher. I mean, I just, for a million years, it seems like I haven't weighed. I didn't even own a scale till a week ago. So, I'm actually writing about what day one was like for me of this, because it was not fun.
I remember when you, I think you texted me, you're like, I'm getting a scale right now. I was so excited. It's like, this is, that's fucking amazing, because it's pushing through that discomfort in the same way that we would encourage people to push through discomfort and push through the friction that you and I have been talking about in the inner circle. Like, it's pushing through that friction in order to have a better relationship and mindset overall.
Oh, sure. And like I've told some people too, I will always probably be a non-weigher. I mean, just for most of the time, that's just where I function best, because I really don't give a shit about the number. But what's been interesting for me with this is how all the old baggage kind of just resurfaced in like literally a second. It all was this major flashback the second I stepped on the scale for the first time. And it's like, holy shit, that's kind of weird.
Isn't that you know? Crazy?
It is crazy. But what's been really fun to monitor from my end is just how that gets better and better and easier and easier and easier. And even coming from someone who, I know what's happening, I get that, but there's still the emotional piece.
Exactly.
You know,
So like, what happened? What did you, the first time you stepped on the scale, like, did you get nervous?
I thought I was going to throw up.
I love that. Like, so why? What happened? You're like, oh fuck. Like,
I have, you know, when, first of all, when's the last time a scale has been in this house? You know, literally never in this current house have I ever had a scale. And I've been here 23 years. So that, and before that, I don't even remember. I mean, who knows? But so it's been that long since I've even owned a scale. The only time I would get weighed is when I would go for a doctor's appointment, and only really, they only weigh you at your physical, you know, that, and your annual checkup. So they don't even really weigh you when you're sick, that just for the annual. So I was getting weighed once in a blue moon. And, you know, the anxiety that would be provoked from stepping on that scale, you know, was a big deal. But honestly, I had just changed how I looked and how I feel and how I move. So the number wasn't a big deal for me anyway. That's why I never really even thought about stepping on the scale until you brought this up. And then I'm like, yeah, you know what? Not only really do I want to support you, but I this feels, the second I thought about it, I got a lump in my stomach and I said, I got to do this. I have to do this.
I love that it was the feeling of nerves or angst or whatever the immediate response is, well, that means I have to do it.
Yeah.
In order to overcome it, rather than being like, oh no, like I shouldn't do it because of this. It's like, no, it's the opposite. It's like, because I have this feeling, I need to do it so I can overcome that feeling.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure you have people messaging you about that kind of thing, as do I. I've had several screenshot my story and send it back to me and say, I want to do this, but I just can't. And trying to walk people through how I just did it. I mean, how I overcame my fear or whatever. Did you have a fear doing it at all?
Fortunately, no. I didn't have any fear doing it at all. I'll tell you actually one of my biggest concerns. I knew that it was going to fluctuate. I've known this, and I had a very, it's interesting. My disordered habits created through wrestling and cutting weight in high school showed me how massively the scale can fluctuate on an hourly basis from 12, 13, 14 years old. So like for me, I've never had an issue with the scale on that front. It's never been anything that I've been like, I got too much anxiety over, just because I've known since I was a young teenager how much it can fluctuate. My worry came from, and actually it manifested today in taking the pictures. I usually take pictures. I encourage Inner Circle members like to do once a month, like clients once a month. But my worry was that people were going to see the fluctuations and just be like, well, how do we know that it's actually working? Like the question on their end being like, how do we know it's actually working? Like, we're seeing these fluctuations, but how do we know it's actually making progress? Which is why today, 2 weeks in, I took another progress picture, because I was like, they have no reason to trust me at this point. It's like, they have no reason to trust me. So I have to give them proof, which is why I took that picture. And it's like, clearly in the last 2 weeks, I've made significant progress, even though my weight today was higher than it's been the entire cut. Mm-hmm. And so that was my concern, was that there were going to be people who are like, well, how do we even know? And I haven't had one person say that, but it was just like, I'm going to have to prove it early on that like it doesn't mean much. And so especially today when it hit my highest, which I knew was going to happen just based on my fluctuate, like how I know my weight fluctuates and like how I know things happen relative to like my lifting cycle and my just like how my weight tends to fluctuate. I knew like I was going to be on an upward trend, and now over the next 2 to 4 days it'll go on a downward trend. Which is actually, that's a really fun part for me, is predicting it, because people are like, holy shit, how'd you know that was going to happen? It's like, well, that's what happens when you track your weight meticulously for years and years and years. You can sort of predict this stuff. But yeah, my anxiety came from, shit, I don't want people to like not understand it or not believe it. So like, I was glad that I posted that picture today, because I got a lot of responses being like, wow, that's literally your highest weight so far, and clearly you're way leaner. It's very cool to see.
Yeah. Are you doing measurements as well, or just the pictures?
No, I'm not doing measurements. I didn't go out and buy one, which I could have, but just doing pictures. And realistically, it's one of those things where pictures tell everything you need to know. It's
sure, like, absolutely.
They really do. And I think it's harder if you're doing it yourself. Sometimes it's harder to see in your own progress, but I think one of the really cool things that's happened so far, and again, it's only been 2 weeks, is a lot of the people who've said like, well, it's just not working for me. Like, I don't know why it's not working. Like fat loss, da, da, da. They've seen my progress in 2 weeks, and they're like, maybe I'm not being as consistent as I think I'm being. And it's like, and I'm like, it's usually it. It's like, they're like, I'm doing everything right. I'm really doing it. And all of a sudden they see how much progress I've made in 2 weeks. And they're like, Jesus, like, then they're like, okay, well, you know, now that I'm looking at it more clearly, maybe I'm eating more than I think I'm eating. Da, da, da. It's like, yeah. So it's probably one of the coolest things for me is, number one, a lot of people have been saying the anxiety around the scale has gone away because they're watching. They thought their weight was the only one that fluctuated so much. It's one of the things, and I always got so annoyed when people would say it, to be like, no, you don't understand. Like, I could have one bad meal and I immediately gain like 5 pounds of fat. And I realize it's because they see the weight fluctuate and they think that that means they're gaining fat from it.
Right.
And they don't know everyone else has the same exact fluctuations. So there's a lot of relief around that. And then also just the awareness around what people are actually doing, like that. Are they actually hitting their calories? Are they actually being as consistent as they think they are? And after seeing how quickly I've made this amount of progress, there's a fair few people who are like, wow, I really don't think I'm being as consistent as I think I am.
Oh, and that's the beauty of this, is that people are going to maybe give themselves a self audit a little bit of their week, and how consistent were they during the week, you know, or whatever, just to see and find the little loopholes that are happening and maybe the reasons why they haven't progressed in the past.
That's really the sort of the magic of it all. The interesting part is people, it's interesting. People, you and I talk about it all the time. People are really assholes to themselves. They're like, they are so outrageously hard on themselves in one sense of like, they're just being so unrealistic and so hard on themselves in a way they would never do to a friend or someone else. But also on the same token, they're not being realistic and they're not being honest, and they're being overly hard on themselves, but they're also not being consistent enough to like warrant any significant progress. So like they're being super hard on themselves from the perspective of why aren't I making more progress, but they're not doing the right things to actually get that amount of progress. So it's a double whammy. And the more people can be aware of, wow, like I'm really not being as consistent as I thought I am, then the more they can be like, okay, well, that's why I'm not making the progress I think I should.
Oh, 100%. For you, what was there a straw that broke the camel's back for you thinking, you know what, I have to do this now? Was there like a thing that happened or that you felt or something that you said, you know what, I need to focus on fitness now, my own fitness?
There wasn't a single moment or a single thing that happened per se. It was more just like, I just got to a point where I was like, I just got to fucking do this.
Mm-hmm.
Almost because I could feel that going to work out, I was like, I didn't have the same amount of energy, the same amount of fun, the excitement that I had going to the gym. Like the things that I used to be able to do very easily were like significantly difficult. I'm actually glad you asked. So I think one of the biggest things that definitely wanted to make me get back into it was, even if I looked at my videos on YouTube, like from the past 6 months relative to 2 or 3 years ago, huge difference in body composition that you could just see, just like very big difference, like much softer, not nearly as like fit, and you can see it. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't want that image as like, especially like diet fitness. And it's not like I was out of shape per se, or I was like overweight, or I was completely unfit. But as a fitness professional, I wanted to be able to like not just talk the talk, but also walk the walk. And I had spent more than enough time really, really, really focusing on my business where it's like, okay, now like got to get a little bit more balanced. And that's sort of what you and I talk about a lot. It's like sometimes in order to reach a certain level of balance, there has to be periods of unbalance.
Yes.
And definitely went through that period of unbalance in order to build my social media and business this far. Now it's like, okay, now sort of let's bring it back to balance. It's like sort of when I was at my peak in powerlifting, when I did this four times my body weight, I was very unbalanced in that most of my life revolved around powerlifting and nutrition and fitness. And then as that became like less and less important to me, my business sort of became the unbalance. Like that's what I focused a lot more on. Now, especially as I come to an end with Gary in the next few months, I can feel myself wanting to transfer back to focus more on my own fitness, getting enough sleep. Like I've gotten more sleep in the last few weeks than I did in a long, 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 long time, like well over a year and a half. Like I was functioning on very few hours of sleep. And now in the last few weeks, since I've really started getting my nutrition and training back in order, it's crazy. Like even just like getting really good training sessions in, it hasn't been an option for me to stay up all night and work. It's like, I've got to go to sleep because I'm just going to pass out right now. And when I wasn't training as hard, I could stay up all night and like, I would say quote unquote be fine, but I could do it without necessarily having the negative repercussions, because if I stay up all night now, my training session is going to go to shit and I'm not willing to sacrifice that now. Whereas before, when my training session would be relatively easy or non-existent, I could justify staying up all night because I didn't have to perform.
And that, my friend, is huge for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
not worth it. It's like staying up those extra few hours to do work, get more social media stuff done. I think that was worth it before. But for now, when I'm really focusing on fitness and health and performing, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen to that, for sure. You know, and through this whole process, you guys are doing a lot of videoing of just documenting this. And in one recent video, you talked about being prepared. with regards to nutrition.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting about that, I really find that word kind of triggers different things for people. I find with people I talk to that whenever I say you need to be prepared or the word prepared, to them it means food prep and it means Tupperware and it means, you know, cooking all day Sunday and putting it all in the containers and doing this whole meal prep thing as preparation, when it's not that really at all. And I think you hit on it really, really well in the video, because if you're not prepared, if you're not thinking ahead, if you don't have food stocked in your house, you're setting yourself up for failure.
100%. And it's funny. I remember I was talking about it. I was like, I hate this phrase because it's so cliche, but it's really true. It's like, when you're not prepared, you're preparing to fail. And I really hate that because it's so cliche, but it's so fucking true.
Yeah.
When it's like, when I don't have anything in my fridge, especially living in New York, when nothing closes, everything is open 24/7. It's like, okay, I've got nothing in my fridge. Might as well go down the street and just get some slices of pizza because it's always there. And I've got three places within like a 2-minute walk. I'll just go do that. Or it's like, you don't have anything in the apartment or the house or whatever. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I'll go grab ice cream. I'll go whatever. Like, or you get the easy stuff that you already have ready in the apartment, whatever you have. Whereas if you have Greek yogurt, or if you have fruit, or if you mm-hmm. have whatever you want to make a smoothie, or any, like anything, there's so many options that you could have. Like, I've never been a meal prep on Sunday kind of person.
Yeah,
I've never
neither.
Been like, I don't like putting my stuff in Tupperware. I don't like, mm-mm. it's just never been interesting to me. I'd much rather just do it in the moment. And that just comes down to having everything you need in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the biggest difference maker, at least with, especially with my clients, when I talk to them about their nutrition and how, you know, they are not thinking ahead either. They're okay. I'm home from work. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I have 600 calories left to use. What the hell am I going to make for dinner tonight? You know, even walking in the door, not having any idea and looking in your cupboards and not knowing what's there, and then trying to create something at whatever hour of the evening. And then you're going to say, screw it, I'm starving, I'm just going to eat.
Exactly. And it's funny. I know, like, you talk about how, like, you feel like you have a very boring diet.
Yeah,
when
I do.
When you're on point.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think I'm when I'm on point, my diet is very boring too.
Yeah.
And there's actually a lot of research behind the people who are the most successful dieters, the people who are the most successful at maintaining a healthy body composition. They tend to be relatively boring in that,
yes.
like, they eat more or less the same things on a consistent basis. And that's because it makes it easier, because mm-hmm. when you, the people who tend to have a less boring diet, the people who tend to eat different things on a consistent basis, they tend to have a harder time maintaining a healthy body composition because they're always guessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ever anything consistent. It's sort of like, I guarantee you, the people who have the best workout schedules tend, you would call it more of a boring workout schedule, because they just do the same things on a consistent basis. But that's why they're the most successful. And I think a lot of people overvalue complexity. They overvalue, they undervalue consistency, overvalue complexity. And when you are resistant to doing the boring things consistently, then you end up failing because you're just doing things more complex. You're making things harder than they need to be.
Oh, amen to that. And, you know, I told you, I've been getting a lot of requests to, make a video on kind of a day of eating of what I eat. I get asked about that all the time, and I'm going to do that for sure. And I'm thinking, yeah, people are going to look at this and go, really? You eat that? Yeah, I kind of eat that. I have oatmeal all the time mixed with this or that, or, you know, whatever. I don't do sauce. I use a lot of spices. You know, it is very basic, and I think that really works. It just does.
100%. My ideal breakfast for, like, being just lean and full is oatmeal with some protein mixed in, maybe some Greek yogurt and coffee. Like, ideal breakfast.
I had that this morning.
That's what I had for breakfast this morning. It's like,
same
figure.
Same page all the time. Yes. Yes. That is my go-to. And, you know, and that's an interesting point too, because I think having, and I think this is really important for people to have go-to meals like that. That you know make you feel good and that work for you. And you can, you know, you don't have to think, you know, you can, if you're coming home from work and you're tired and you're hungry and you don't want to have to recreate a wheel, well, go use one of your go-to meals.
100%. Absolutely. That's where I think there's always just a learning curve to it, where it's like when you first start out, you have no idea. So
yeah,
you start
absolutely.
Researching and you try new things. And it's like, okay, well, that one takes way too long, or I don't like how that works. So you try something else. And eventually, I'd say generally I have about between 4 to 6 go-to meals that I can make at any point in time that always have the ingredients in-house. They're always like something that I enjoy. They're always something that are very easy to make, that are always something that are relatively low calorie, high protein. And like, that's it. And that I've learned them over years and years and years of practice and trying new things, and that's it. And I think just having those 4 to 6 go-tos that you make up probably 85 to 90% of your meals are the reason like you are successful.
Yeah, I would totally agree. So what's another go-to of yours?
Shakshuka. Shakshuka is something that I think I first had it when I was 16, when I went to Israel for the first time. And then when I went back when I was 18 is when I first started having it consistently. And it's just become one of the easiest. It's basically pizza with eggs, but like without the crust. So I just take a bunch of tomatoes, cut them up, put them in a pan. If I don't want to cut the tomatoes up because I'm super lazy, I'll get canned tomatoes. And like, they're just as good. And then and then I'll pour them in a pan. I'll like take onions and garlic, chop them up, put them in the pan, saute them. And then I'll crack a couple eggs on top, and then I'll put a cover on it. So it sort of just like cooks inside. And then it takes like, I don't know, 7 to 10 minutes. And then everything cooks. It's super hot. You get this like really, really like great consistency, hot tomato sauce with eggs that you can then crack the yolks on top of it if you want to get some bread or pita out, and then like just scoop up the yolk with that. It's super low calorie, high protein. Sometimes I'll put some type of meat in it, whether it's ground turkey, or I'll put some salmon in it just to get some extra protein, but very low calorie, mm-hmm. very high protein, really filling. And essentially it tastes like pizza without the crust. And that's one of my all time favorite meals.
Well, holy shit, that sounds amazing. Like I literally, I just typed it down. I'm going to have to try it now. I'll have to try to create it.
Well, it's funny because it must be within the first 3 to 5 ever editions of the Inner Circle, I put my shakshuka recipe in one of the first 3 to 5 editions. So like we have that recipe in the Inner Circle. Like we'll just pull it out. It's in there. It's
need to
we'll like republish that in the next edition or something. It is by far one of my all-time favorite meals.
Well, you know, when since you've been posting your weight every morning, I'm just curious because I'll tell you what's happened with me. Have you gotten any negative messages about that? Other than I think you mentioned one at the beginning, but just in general about or even your progress pictures.
So no negative. The only negatives are like too many feet. Other than that, like because people see the feet on the scale.
Yeah.
But like I got one woman who is actually, I was really impressed by it because she said, I'm going to be honest with you. I really want to be upset about this and want to like not like what you're doing. But I have to say, I can't argue with it because the goal isn't to avoid your fears. It's to overcome them. So I really do appreciate this. And so I could feel that like she probably had an emotional response of like, I don't like this. But the logical response was actually it overcame that, which I really respected, and I appreciated that she wrote, and I told her that. No negative responses. I know like for the last several years, I've not done any like shirtless pictures or anything. I think the reason that no one's had a negative response to this, there are a couple. Number one is because I made it very clear from the beginning, like just another muggle, regular person, not looking like this isn't like asking for – like, oh my God, tell me how great I look, any of that. It's very much just, I'm going to show you my progress so you can see what's realistic and so that you can live and enjoy and have fun without feeling like nutrition and fitness is taking over your life while making progress. Mm-hmm. I personally, I'm still not big on posting like shirtless pictures on my feed consistently, and I won't. That's not going to be what I turn into. I just do think there's value in documenting this process and showing people what's actually going on. So I haven't had any negative feedback yet. I would be surprised if none came. So I don't know what it would be, what people would say. I would imagine if negative feedback does come, it would come from somebody who came in late and wasn't aware of what's going on from the very beginning and just sees progress pictures shirtless. And they don't know, they don't have the full context. But who knows, maybe nothing will come. But yeah. I mean, at this point, there's always going to be some negative feedback. So we'll see.
Well, that's good. I haven't gotten anything negative, but I have had someone question or basically tell me, it's so easy for you to post your weight because you've been weighing.
Oh, yeah, I've had that.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you have no idea how, I mean, literally, I'm standing on this thing by the toilet because I feel like I'm going to throw up, okay? So, yeah, no, it was it's super hard. It's and I think and just to put that out there, that everyone has their struggles with this to some degree or whatever, and either from the past or present or whatever. And not to assume that because someone's weight is a certain number that in your mind is not very high, you have no idea what they're feeling inside about all this or what their history is or where they're coming
really,
from. You
really,
really
good point. And I'm really glad you brought that up because I've had a small handful of people say similar things, basically the effect. And generally they were people who they were like, well, I'm obese and I'm not going to do this because like it's harder for me. And like it's easier for that person because that person's not obese. And I was like, well, first of all, how do you know that they weren't obese? Like, how do you know that that's not where they came from? You don't know where they were, like what they've done. And not to mention, everything is relative. Like what if the person's, I don't know, 100 pounds and they came from an anorexic, bulimic, disordered eating past where like they see that 100 pounds and they think, oh my God, that must mean I'm really fat now. And like, that's a very, like maybe they were 80 pounds when they were like at their worst. And so they see the 100 pounds, like, oh my God, like this must mean I'm completely overweight. And what they see in the mirror is very different than what you see in person. And it's very easy to just look at a number that someone else has and just assume, oh, they must be so happy. They must like fully, like, it's not a problem for them because that's what they weigh. But you're basing that off of your past and your history and your personal experience, not what they've been through. We all have our own different personal experiences.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to judge someone else. And it's one of the worst habits you can get into. And what I've noticed with these people who've been saying, well, it's easier for them or you because you have that body or you have that number. It's essentially just an excuse to get out of like feeling. It's a way of being excusing yourself out of doing it, out of pushing past your friction. Like,
yeah. It makes them feel better about themselves.
100%. It's exactly right. And it's why they got that feeling of anxiety, but think about the scale. And instead of doing what you did and being like, well, I've got to do this now and push through it, they had the opposite reaction and got defensive and said, well, I can't do that because of this. And like, that's where they'll end up staying. They'll stay in that position of being unhappy rather than being able to push through the friction and fight through. And just the reason you succeed is because you feel that emotional response and you push through it and you take action. Whereas other people, when they have that emotional response and they just let that overcome them and prevent them from taking action, that's when they stay upset and pessimistic.
Yeah. I mean, and I just, the comment, you know, you don't weigh much and you look so good. So of course it's easy for you to go. And, you know, it's just what you said. We all come to this from very, very different circumstances or experiences. And you should never judge a book by its cover because you just don't know. You just don't know where people are coming. And for the record, yeah, I almost threw up. Okay. So it was not easy whatsoever. But saying that, day two, a little bit less, day three, I mean, I'm on day 7 tomorrow. And yeah, I'm actually fascinated by this more than I thought I would be. I thought I would be in a period of dread for several weeks doing this, but that's flipped fairly quickly. Now I'm kind of fascinated to see, okay, I ate like this today. Let me see what happens. You know, it comes from a place of me not weighing for so long and really not knowing how much I weighed. That's kind of the number one thing I've gotten out of this. I now know how much I weigh, which I didn't before. And maybe future programming for me, future, different directions now, but it's been fascinating. And I like that. So I feel like, you know, people, if you're hesitant to do this, I encourage everyone to do it, because that first step on the scale is the hardest. It's like anything, right? The first step is always the hardest. Yeah.
And then they just get easier. A lot of people have been like, well, I just can't do this. I'm too scared. I let it affect me too much. And one thing that you and I always talk about, and especially in the inner circle, is along the lines of it's scary, and you get a negative emotion when you look at stepping on the scale, when you look at that number as a pass or a fail, when it's like, if it's down, then it's good. Yeah. If it's up, then it's bad. If it's like, then when you associate each individual number with a good or bad emotion, the same way when you associate an individual food with a good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, then all of a sudden, like, you'll have negative emotions. Like, people have negative emotions around carbohydrates because they look at them as bad. But when you take that health, good or bad, healthy or unhealthy out of it, the negative emotion goes away. And so that's the whole same thing with the scale. It's like, we need to remove that notion of good or bad away from what the number says and just look at it as data. Just look at it as like, cool, here's another piece of information. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's not good or bad. It's just data. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why you've been able to develop a healthier relationship with it this time around so quickly, is because you know so logically and you live it so clearly daily. It's like, listen, this is just a piece of information. And that's it. And you constantly reinforce that within yourself. And the more you reinforce that, then the less and less each number impacts you.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I totally agree with that. And I also like, you know, how we focus with the inner circle members on not letting your emotions dictate or prevent you from reaching a goal or doing something to get better, to improve. We talk about that a lot, and that keeping you from doing things, you know? And that's going into this. That's the one thing I did not want to have happen. And, you know, I felt it. You could feel the emotions in there, and your gut instinct is, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. And then it's like, no. No, I have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, even today, when I stepped on the scale today and it was my highest yet, I could feel myself. I got annoyed not because I was upset about the weight, but because I was like, fuck, I want to show these people that like it works. And I had to be like, listen, like, this is actually a good thing. I'm going to show them the weight is the highest, but I'm also going to take a progress picture and show them how much I've lost for the last 2 weeks. It's just so interesting how quickly like it can create an emotional response, but it's also equally as important to like recognize that, so you can let your logical side take over like more quickly.
Yeah, so you can take some action.
Exactly, for sure.
You know, talk about how you look at the numbers, like over averages over a month or whatever, instead of it went up, so that's a good day. It went down the next, or went up, that's a bad day. It went down, that's a good day. The day-to-day versus either week-to-week or month-to-month.
Yeah, so it's been a learning experience as a coach over the years, and I used to look at it week-to-week. That's sort of like what I was always taught growing up in the fitness industry, is like, yeah, you look at it week-to-week, and my job like was always like stifling people's negative responses day-to-day. But I noticed that week-to-week didn't work either. Especially with women going through menstrual cycle, week to week didn't make sense, because mm-hmm. when I would say week to week, all right, we'll go Monday to Monday. If they were going through a menstrual cycle, if they were about to go on their period, they'd see their weight spike up. They'd be like, I'm 3 pounds heavier than last week. Like, what's going on? And I'd be like, well, listen, you're also on your period. Like, so it makes sense. And then I had to explain that. And so basically over time, then I would go every 2 weeks and that still didn't work. And I was like, fuck it, let's go month to month. And it worked in a huge benefit in many ways. Number one, when I first started telling people, listen, the first month of weight is simply just data collection. It means nothing. So you are essentially not allowed to get upset at any of the weight over the next month, because every single day we're going to compare to the day in the following month. So May 1 to June 1, June 1 to July 1, July 1 to August 1, May 2nd to June 2nd, June 2nd, July 2nd, July 2nd, August 2nd. It immediately set the tone from the very beginning that complaining and having an emotional response about your weight is unacceptable.
Right.
And it was like, this is a very, like, almost tough love from the very beginning. If we get 4 days in and you start whining or complaining or having an emotional response to your weight going up 4 days in, like, we're going to have a serious issue. And it set the tone from the very beginning.
And in reverse as well.
Exactly. If you're like, oh yeah, like I lost 2 pounds. Like, I was very clear. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's going to spike up again. Like, no emotional response. Like, I'm glad that you're being consistent with your nutrition, but being super happy the scale going down is not essentially allowed, and being super mad if the scale goes up is not allowed. And so that, number one, it set the tone from the beginning that your weight should not be eliciting an emotional response. And number two is it let them just start viewing things from a longer term perspective in terms of, hey, we're going to compare this data in 1 month. So don't try and do anything. Like, don't try and compare anything. Don't try and say it's not working for at least a month, because it's going to take that amount of time to really see anything. So by starting off, and it was one of those things where I know a lot of coaches, whether it's because they think it's actually better or because they think it's a good retention strategy, a lot of coaches will change up their clients' nutrition information every week, or their programming every week. They'll send them new guidelines. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, there's zero reason to be changing things that much. And I think a lot of coaches do it because they're like, well, my clients get bored, so, you know, I'll just change things here and there to make them, like, to keep them interested. Like, but that doesn't teach them anything that's going to help them long term. If you want to be a good coach and actually help your clients, then you need to teach them how to stick with something consistently for 6 months, not give them new stuff every week, because that's what they want. It's like, your job as a coach is to give them what they need, not what they want.
Oh, 100%. 100% true.
So that's really where I saw the benefit, in terms of, if you really want to really keep track of the data of your weight, then you measure once a month, like the corresponding day of the month. So the first to the first, the second to the second, third to the third. Which is why, I mean, if you think about it, I've been doing this for 2 weeks now, and essentially none of these data points matter yet, because it's only been 2 weeks. Like, I need to go a whole month before I can compare month to month what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And then you're what, in week two now?
Yeah, I just finished week two, so I'm going into week three.
Week three, yeah. So you're almost at the point where you can start doing number comparison.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. You know, one thing that always, I look back for me years and years ago, I would always confuse what I thought was fat being either bloat or stomach content. Like, I ate more than I normally did. And that little, like that, I'm feeling so full, I'm feeling overstuffed or whatever, I must have gained fat. And that wasn't what was happening. And it's interesting. I still get approached by people all the time with that same kind of confusion, that they don't realize that you can't put on that much fat by going out for dinner.
It's interesting. People get really stressed out about, like, oh my, people say like, oh my God, I can gain 15 pounds of fat in like a week. I'm like, no, you can't.
No, you can't.
Like, physiologically, no, you cannot.
Yeah.
That's actually why I want to do that 10,000 calorie challenge in the middle of this fat loss phase, because I want to show, like, literally people worry about going out to dinner and going, like, they don't know how many calories are in the meal. So they're like, well, I'm not going to eat any of it. And then, or I'm going to bring Tupperware, or I'm like, whatever, they can't enjoy their dinner out, or they do eat and then they feel guilty about it. And it's like, and then usually what happens after that is, if they don't eat or they feel guilty, then they end up going home and binging. And then that's a whole separate issue. Like, rather just go enjoy yourself and have fun, like, in moderation, because then you're less likely to binge. And if you just get back on track, you're going to be fine. And so sort of the one main reason I want to do this 10,000 calorie challenge is to be like, listen, in the middle of this 90-day fat loss phase, I'm going to do this 10,000 calorie challenge. And you're going to see at the end of 90 days, I've still lost a significant amount of fat. even though I went 10,000 calories in a single day. Like, and no one's going to be doing that by act. Like, that's not an accidental thing. You have to force yourself to eat 10,000.
No, it's like, no.
People just assume that all of a sudden you go over like five people, like, oh my God, I went 50 calories or 100 calories or 500 calories over. Everything's ruined. It's like, trust me, you didn't ruin anything.
No, no, no. And I'm curious about this 10,000 calorie challenge. Have you started to plan a strategy for that?
Not
yet?
Like explicitly, like, okay, this is what I'm going to start with or anything, but I know for a fact that I get way more full from fatty foods than I do from carbs. Like fatty foods, okay. Whether it's avocado, peanut butter. I mean, I just had a bagel with some smoked salmon, and like smoked salmon just absolutely just fills me up. Any type of fatty food will, good fats, bad fats, whatever you want to call them, they fill me up really quickly. Ice cream would fill me up. Like it would not be good. And so cheesecake, something like that, a lot of these cakes that people have, I can't do it, because once if I have that, I'll be full for the rest of the day. So what I'm going to do is I'm planning on, I'll definitely probably get like a box of 12 Krispy Kremes. definitely at least those. And then for sure, croissants. And croissants, they do have a significant amount of fat in it, but they're also so light and airy that like I can still get them down.
I
think what I'll do is I'll probably take the croissants and I'll take the donuts and I'll put Nutella on them or something. And just like, I think I'll easily be able to get down several thousand calories with just those.
You can make one of those donut sandwiches, you know, those
I think I'm literally going to do like Krispy Kreme, Nutella, Krispy Kreme. And then I also found these like Belgian waffle things that are super high calorie, relatively low fat. I might do like Krispy Kreme, waffle, Krispy Kreme on that. And just like, I have this bet with Rico. I sort of want to see if I could do all 10,000 in 3 hours or less.
Oh my God.
I think if I do it right, I'll be able to do that. And it's the thing I'm worried about is once I get full, I'm full for the day. Like once I get full, it really hits me hard. So I sort of just want to see if I can knock it out in one fell swoop.
Wow. And who's going to be calculating?
I'll calculate it all beforehand. So like, but we'll keep track of it. And then like, as we eat it, we'll put it up on the screen on the video. But he doesn't think I can do it. Yeah. He thinks I'll get a couple thousand in and then I'll just be done for the day.
I don't think he realizes your stubborn streak yet. I don't think he gets that yet. I just don't think so. Because I think if you plan this out.
Is this something that you think you would try?
Wow. I don't know if I could physically eat 10,000 calories. I would probably like to try something,
maybe 5,
but not 000. That many. I don't think, maybe half that. And then I would certainly see how I fared with that. And then maybe the next time, but I would love to try that at some point. That would be that would be huge for me to do that. Actually, I need to think about that.
What about it would be huge for you? Like what is the mindset of doing it?
Eating that much, that the whole mindset of eating that many calories in a day when I am consistently probably I'm not tracking right now, but I have probably a good idea how many calories I'm eating, and that would be like significantly over. But I think, you know, even saying this out loud, 5,000 probably is not going to be that hard.
Oh my God, no,
really,
absolutely not.
Okay. So maybe, I can go more than that.
Maybe like 7,500.
I think I could start there. Yeah, for sure.
Well, once you get to 7,500, you might as well start at 10,000.
you're right. Okay. All right.
But I think one of the major reasons aside from doing it to show people that it's not going to inhibit your progress if you go out to dinner or like have one bad meal. A lot. I don't know if you've ever looked it up, but there's a lot of 10,000 calorie challenges, 20,000 calorie challenges on YouTube. A lot. And one thing I've noticed is there are a lot of fitness people who do them consistently, like on a weekly basis, like a couple weeks, like 2 weeks a month, or 1 week, like one every week, every 2 weeks, like that. And it didn't make sense to me. And the more I look at it, the more I watch them, the more I realize that a lot of these fitness people who are doing these 10,000 calorie challenges but still are relatively lean, they've got serious binge eating issues. Like, and they use these 10,000 calorie challenges as a way to justify their binge eating, as a way to be like, well, essentially, they only film themselves once a week, right? So that one time a week where they have 10,000 calories, and the other times throughout the week, they're just not eating. They're like more or less fasting or like eating super, super, super low calorie to justify that one massive binge. And it's something I want to talk about on the video. It's like, listen, I'm not doing this to justify a binge. I'm not a binge eater. This isn't what I'm doing. But if this is something that you see yourself doing where like you restrict, and then you go bonkers, it's something to really pay attention to, because it's not healthy to keep going through these restricting, binging cycles. And a lot of these people, these fitness influencers on YouTube and whatever, Instagram, doing these challenges as a way to get more views, it doesn't mean they have a healthy relationship with food.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't aware that it was such a big thing.
Yeah, it's if you, I mean, just Google 10,000 calorie challenge, like you'll find a lot. I saw one where this guy did 100,000 calories in 72 hours. Yeah, this guy is Eric the Electric on YouTube. Then I just got super obsessed with watching this. It's like hypnotizing to watch these people just eat obscene amounts of food. He said he almost went to the hospital because he felt like his stomach, he thought like it was about to explode. Just like very unhealthy, very, very, and he's had a history of anorexia and disordered eating that he's spoken about, and sort of his issues with food and how, like, I think a lot of this is his way of dealing with it. And he's also a competitive eater. I think it's one way a lot of people who have a disordered past with food and binge eating, they're more drawn to this because it sort of feeds into their neuroses.
Well, this will be really fun to watch. And maybe then the next time I'll join you.
We'll have to go to Bleecker Street.
I'll do it then. I think so. For sure. When do you think you're going to do it?
Within 2 weeks, for sure. I definitely I want to do it, and still, number one, we've been building it up for at least a week already. And number two is I want to do it and then still have a considerable amount of time to like get back on track and make progress. And so I think if it's in 2 weeks, then it'll be a month in, and then basically I'll have 2 more months left on the 90-day challenge. And 2 more months is just plenty of time to just make a tremendous amount of progress very sustainably. So, and that's really the whole point of just documenting this whole process of being able to show people that you can make an unbelievable amount of progress in a relatively short time frame. 90 days is relatively very, very, very short, very brief. But a lot of people are like, well, I want it in 21 days. It's like, okay, well, every time you do a 21-day thing, you end up giving up on it or doing it and then binging afterwards. And I just want to show people, if you can do something a little bit more sustainable for a little bit longer period of time, you'll end up getting much better results than trying to do something a little bit more extreme for a little bit shorter period of time and then rebounding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's why I love that you're doing this, because I think this is just going to be, it's going to help so many people to see the bigger picture.
Well, I very much hope so. And maybe we'll have to do like a challenge like that at the Inner Circle Retreat in July.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that also is coming up before we know it. That is really on top of us, and everything is kind of, I feel like right now is really coming
I'm
together.
Stoked. I'm excited. The rooms are booked. Got like a full set of rooms taken. Are there rooms left for people to get or no?
There are rooms left for people to get. So if you're in the Inner Circle and you haven't booked your room yet, you can still do it. We have a few extra rooms in there now. So
perfect.
It's all good.
I'm stoked.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been amazing as always.
As always, it's been a pleasure and an honor, and I love you. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Of course. It's always fun to have you on this podcast. It's always fun. And I love you more, and I win that battle.
I love you
so
most,
Case
Post.
And, yeah, I will see you tomorrow.
I will see you tomorrow.
For sure.
Thank you, Susan. I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye.
All right. Love you, too.